Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. I heard something great this evening. Miss Tabitha's parents put an offer in on a house and was denied, and then put another offer in and was accepted. And so they're going to be getting into a house. That's exciting. God's really blessed there, and we're so thankful for that. Nehemiah chapter number 8. We're going to start in verse number 4. Thank you, by the way, ladies, for singing. That was great. Good job. And I love to see young people, especially teenagers, singing for the Lord. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 4, says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah, Ananiah and Urijah." You guys forgive me for the pronunciation of these names. "And Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand. And on his left hand, Padiah and Michelle and Malchiah and Hashum and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub and Shapathai and Hadajai and Messiah and Kalita and Azari and Jozabad and Hanan and Pelei and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, which is the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, 'This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.'" Verse 10, "He said unto them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet.'" The only thing I think about that is the Dunkin' Donut doctrine is actually in the Bible here. "And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." They're taking time now. The wall is built. The leadership has been put in place. And now they're taking time to spend in the Word of God. And they open the Word of God, and it says all those that can understand. And so this was the first nursery in the Bible, we see. Those that weren't understanding could had a place for them. But those that are understood were there. And exciting time. They open the Word of God. And Nehemiah comes to them in the latter part of this, and he uses these two words in verse 9, "this day, this day." And then again in verse 10, we see, "for this day is holy unto our Lord, this day." And so I want to talk to you this morning, or this evening, it's not morning, talk this evening about this thought, "this day." Lord, be with us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Now give us strength. Speak through me, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Just in case you're wondering, this is my 13,387th day on this earth. If you want to give me a present or anything, that's okay. Some of you can brag because you may have hit the 20,000 mark or the 50,000 mark or 100,000 mark. I don't know. Has anybody ever marked how many days they've been on earth? Anybody? I'm the only one here, huh? Over 13,000 days I've been alive. And each of them are important. Why are they important, Pastor Creed? Each day is important. Why? Because Psalms chapter 118 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." Think about that for a second. God made today. Just let that soak in for you. God made today, and He puts you in it. And He gave you this day. Think about that for a second. This could be the day. Right? This could be the day you've been praying for that one soul saved, right? And they accept Christ as their personal Savior. This could be the day. This could be the day that you start spending more time in God's Word. This could be the day where you start spending more time in prayer. This could be the day where you and your wife build a better relationship. This could be the day where you witness to that neighbor you've been wanting to witness to for a long time. This could be the day. The day's not over yet. Every day we wake up, we ought to think, boy, this is a wonderful day. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now, the second part of that verse is kind of the theme of the message. David writes, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Even in the bad days, we should be rejoicing. Look in Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 10. The last phrase of that, of our portion of Scripture says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." You say, well, Pastor Creed, how can I stay close to God? How can I stay growing in God's will? And how can I stay obedient to God? How can I do that? Teenager, you're going to camp. And at camp, what happens? Preaching happens, right? And everybody's crying, and everybody's giving testimonies, and everybody's making decisions. And then camp is over, and then what happens? We start forgetting about those decisions. So, Pastor Creed, how can I stay on fire with those decisions and stay with those decisions? How can that happen? Nehemiah gives that principle here in verse 10. He says, "The joy of the Lord is your what? Is your strength." You ever sit in an interview before? Two questions. What's your strength? What's your weakness? Well, now it's politically correct. What are you working on now? How are you bettering yourself? Not what's your weakness, right? We don't want to say that. So, what is your strength? Wouldn't it be funny if you were in a job interview? They said, "What is your strength?" "The joy of the Lord," right? I'm like, okay. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? There shouldn't be a day that goes by where we forget to smile. Smiling is good. In fact, when you wake up and you go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror at what you have to fix, go ahead and put a big smile on your face and say, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because the joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe, Christians, when we look in this wicked world around us, we can fill the whole day up with complaints. I mean, understand, God did not create us to complain. God has given us the opportunity to have joy in our life and to have a great day every day and to have joy every day. You ever know that one person you just want to sock every day? You're having that bad day, and they're bouncing around. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? And you're just like, come on, be quiet. I've got about 10 of those that I know. No, I enjoy some of that, right? Wish I could bottle that up and kind of even it out. I had a pastor friend of mine. He's still my friend. Crazy guy, okay? My brother knows Rick Connor. So I'm in his missions conference. He does missions month, and he has every Sunday a missionary come in every Sunday so everybody can come. And he does a missions month, and at the end he has faith promise messages and does all that. Well, I'm the second to the last, and my grandpa comes the week after. So I go, and I'm there to present my ministry in Virginia, and he says, well, my family and I are going to take you out to Olive Garden. You like Olive Garden? I said, yes. And he said, okay, we're going to take you out to Olive Garden, and you know where it is. I said, oh, I know where it is. So we start out, and we start driving down, and I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, there it is on my steering wheel. It's a red dot. A red dot. How many of you know those laser pointers, right? Huh? Any parents confiscated any laser pointers in their days? Huh? I know my mom has probably a shelf full of them from Benjamin, and not me. There I am. I have got my family in the car, and I'm driving, trying to be Mr. Spiritual, making sure that everybody's going to be good at the table, going through everything, and here's a red dot coming through over my shoulder and on the steering wheel. And I look back, and it's the pastor, Rick Connor, driving with one hand and pointing a laser with the other hand. Now here's the kicker. He's two lanes away. And the laser's going through somebody else's car. Crazy. But you know what? You can never say that Rick Connor lost his joy. He had a good time. He was enjoyable to be around for most people. There's one more man. It's in my uncle's church, and now, and was a pastor on Eastern Shore, good friend of mine. Every time I come up to this man and shake his hand, he's got a smile on his face. Love being around Brother Ettinger. You want to talk about a man full of joy? That guy's full of joy. Encouraging, loving, joyous person. I was just up there not too long ago talking to him. When I got there, he was smiling. When I left, he was smiling. And this is the man that identified his 20-year-old son on the beach of the Chesapeake Bay after he drowned. Still filled with the joy of the Lord every day. Every day. Pastor, how can we keep that joy? How can we keep the joy of the Lord? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I want you to see this verse. Isaiah chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 2. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. How can I keep my joy, Pastor Creed? Keep your excitement about salvation. Think about your salvation. I mean, think about that. Sometimes we get so dull in life, yet we're saved people. We get so mundane, yet we're children of God. We're a child of the King. We should go back to the well of salvation. Look at verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's the well that never runs dry. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how Satan fights you, no matter what you have to grieve over, there's always the well of salvation where you go back and say, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm a child of the King. I remember preaching a message, and it was about Paul's conversion, and a lady came forward, and she said, somebody's got to show me how to get saved. They got to show me. I got to know. And she went my wife out to my office, and my wife led her to the Lord, and she came back with tears, and she says, I didn't know that. I didn't know that I could just pray and accept Christ as my personal Savior. And she had tears in her eyes. Next Sunday she came back. She said, Pastor, can I speak to you? I said, sure. She said, I told my hairdresser. I told my mother-in-law. I told my father, my stepfather. I told my mother. I told my sister. I even told my husband. And guess what they all said? Yeah, we know. We're saved. She said, Pastor, I could have killed them. They didn't tell me. I said, keep telling people. The excitement in Brooke's eyes and face. What excitement that was, that joy of salvation. And every day when you wake up, we think we need that coffee cup to bring us joy. Although it helps, that's only temporary. The joy of salvation will keep us happy and joyful in the Lord. Are you saved? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you gotten over that joy of salvation? Is it old news? Oh, I've been saved. I'm excited. My 5-year-old son accepted Christ as personal Savior. A couple weeks ago, we were reading a book. My wife was reading this book, and it had a cartoon character in it, I guess, and it had the plan of salvation in it. And he said, Mom, I just want to be saved. I do not want to go to hell. And he was excited to get saved. I don't know who was more excited, him or me. I mean, parents, remember when your son or daughter got saved? Isn't that exciting? Not just your own salvation, but when your kids get saved, man, that's awesome. Keep on going to that well of salvation. David sinned against God. And you know the sin with Bathsheba that he committed. And then you know the prophet Nathan comes in and says, Thou art the man. And after the prophet confronts him, he writes Psalms chapter 51. Through the inspiration of God, verse 12 says, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now I wonder if anybody in here would be in that boat that says, God, please restore in me the joy of thy salvation. How, Pastor Creed, how can I keep the joy of the Lord and keep that strength that comes with the joy of the Lord? How can I do that? Remember your salvation. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. How can I keep the joy of the Lord? How can I do that, Pastor Creed? You do that with the Word of God. See, we see here in Nehemiah that it is what they're doing. They set up a pulpit, and Ezra gets up on this pulpit and starts reading the Word of God. And all these characters who's hard to pronounce their name, they start mixing among the people. And as Ezra is reading the Word of God, watch this. The Levites and the men are out there making sure that there's an understanding. So he'd read a portion of scripture, and then he'd stop, and he'd make sure, and these people would talk to people and make sure they'd do you understand that? Yes. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what's... And so they weren't just babbling things, but they were reading God's word, and they were making sure that there was understanding of God's word. Why? Because God's word is important. Not only important just to read, but to understand. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Boy, do we need a healthy diet of the Word of God. We need an appetite for the Word of God. You ever have a rough day, and you go back and you remember, I forgot to read God's Word. Well, by the way, this will give you joy. This will give you joy. Well, Pastor Creed, how do I keep the joy? Well, you go back to your salvation, and then you go to the Word of God. I remember the days in college when I used to go to my mailbox. And I'd open my mailbox, and I'd receive this envelope, and it was pink, and smelled so good. And boy, I couldn't wait to get back to my dorm. And I'd be speeding home. Boy, I can't wait. I got that envelope. I'm going to get home. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to read that letter. It's a love letter from my wife. And she wasn't my wife then. I remember sitting down, opening that letter. Dear marvelous man. Oh, yeah. I like you so much. Right? You are so wonderful. And on and on. And I would read that over and over and over again. In fact, at the house, I have this shoebox. Any fellas with me? Ladies, fellas with me? I got that shoebox, okay? And that shoebox has a bunch of the letters in. Now, if you guys help me move, do not be looking for that shoebox, okay? And I got these letters in this shoebox. And I enjoy reading those letters over and over and over again. They don't get old. And you know, God has given us a love letter. And He wants us to get excited about reading His love letter. And He wants us to read it over and over and over again. He doesn't want us to think, oh, well, you know, I've read that before. I've read that verse before. No. He wants us to love it and have an appetite for that. God has given His word to us. He has preserved His inspired words for us, for you and me, out of His love. You know, there's a country, Papua New Guinea, who wants all the children in their school system to have a copy of the Word of God. What would happen? What would have to happen for that to be the desire in America? Now, our school systems in America want every children to have a cell phone. And we wonder why America is leading the way in antidepressants. And in fact, the cause of disability in the U.S. for ages 15 to 44 is major depressive disorder. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and without the Word of God, we don't have joy. Without God's Word, we have no joy. But with God's Word, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how can I keep this joy, Pastor Creed? Remember your salvation. Go to the Word of God. Number three, Psalms chapter 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will. What's the word delight mean? The word delight means joy. It's the word joy. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law within my heart. Psalms 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What can we do to keep this joy? How about serve others? Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, it's more blessed to give than to what? Receive. All right, we're awake. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's better to think about others than to focus on yourself, isn't it? You say, well, Pastor Creed, I have a teenager that really has a bad attitude, and I'm trying to help them out. I'm trying to get them straight. What can I have? Tried everything. I'll tell you what you do. Get them serving somewhere. Get them doing something. Get their attention off themselves and on something else and somebody else. And helping others. Have you ever went into a soup kitchen or went into a place where people are serving other people? The smiles that are on the people's faces that are serving. You can tell there's joy there. There's joy there. And Jesus came. He was a servant, wasn't he? And we know Jesus had joy. And Jesus was a servant. I mentioned to you a man that always smiled, and his son passed away. Every time I'd shake his hand, he'd smile, big smile. He'd always say, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. I want you to know, that man and his son, before his son passed away, came down to where I started the church and painted the walls of my house. What a servant. He was pastoring a church at the time. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he took all three of those days off. And he came down with his son and bought the paint, bought the materials, came to our house, bought a hotel room, paid for lunch for me and my family, and painted the walls. One of the happiest men I've ever met. Had joy in his life, but he was a servant, and he is a servant. You want joy in your life, serve other people. Self-serving people are miserable people. Self-serving people are miserable people. Selfish people are miserable people. Get your focus off yourself. When your focus is on yourself, it's your time. No one else can get my time. It's your effort, your energy, your resources, and it's also your misery. Let me ask you this. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? I remember after a service one time, I went down to the gym and I heard that mighty rushing water flowing out of the wall where there used to be a water fountain, and a pipe had busted. Have I been there before? The pipe bust and water, it just ruins your day, right? Completely ruins your day. Now, I had just finished preaching, and I was tired, and I said, I've got to get this nap in. I can't get through this nap. I need some sleep. I've been up all night. And then I go down there, checked. I don't know why I went down there, but I checked something. And the water was already to about half court. It was a small gymnasium. It was already at half court. And it was rising. I ran to get the water shut off, and I switched the water off and finally found it. And an old man walked down there. He said, Pastor,
I'm going to get my shop back. You head on home. I looked and I said, you can't do that by yourself. He said, oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. He wanted to serve. He had a smile on his face the whole time he did it. I talked to his wife. He said, that's what he wants to do. He lives for moments like that to serve. To serve. Who are you serving? Say, Pastor Creed, I want the joy. The greatest joy you'll ever receive is when we see Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Don't you love that verse? The end of that verse, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? We're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus. Aren't you excited about that? I'm excited about my salvation. I get excited when I get in the Word of God. I get excited when I serve. But I'm telling you what, just thinking about the time I'm going to get to spend with Jesus, boy, that's going to be exciting. The heightened joy we're going to have ever in our life is spending eternity with Jesus Christ. That time with our Savior, the one who died for you. This weekend we had a birthday party. One of Colton's best buddies. He's only been here 10 weeks, but he's got a best buddy. He talked about that birthday party all week long. He didn't even want to have the volleyball game. Okay? He was ready. He said, they're playing another game and another game and another game. He wanted to go to the birthday party. He was excited. He wanted to see his best friend. There's coming a day we're going to get to see our best friend. We're going to spend time with Jesus. And we're just going to be joyful. What's your strength? It's the joy of the Lord. There was a Russian countess who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and was open about her testimony about accepting Christ. But the Tsar was displeased and threw her into a prison. That's where she didn't belong. She was royalty. But after 24 hours with the lowest level of Russian society and the most miserable conditions imaginable, he ordered her brought into his presence again. And he smiled. And he said, well, are you ready now to renounce your silly faith and come back to the pleasure of the court? To his surprise, the countess smiled and said, I have known more real joy and more real happiness in one day in prison with Jesus than I have known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar. Why? Because she found out that the joy of the Lord is her strength. May we keep that joy.